And we we feed off each other so well because of our differences. But that's also the thread of who we are is we want to love people well. And we can reach different audiences because of who we are. Isn't that the beautiful thing about grace? That even in my craziness and the craziness that he went through, that God could still see us fit to come together and make a beautiful and joyful noise to him. And to tell people from what he's learned and what I've learned, the same point is you don't have to sell your soul to obtain your dream if it's a God dream for you.
Welcome to the NRT Now podcast. I'm your host, Jake. And I'll give you just a moment here before we get into the meat of the episode to hit like, subscribe, follow, whatever that looks like on your favorite podcast platform. As well as if you check the show notes, there will be a link where you can share your stories about how Christian music or an artist or a song has impacted your life. We love hearing those stories. For this episode, I sat down with Kevin Alushala, and you may know Kevin from the band Pentatonix. And yes, we talk a little bit Pentatonix, but we really dig into the heart of his podcast, the Imagine Faith Talk, that he has with co-host Donovan. And I love this because he talks about just following your dreams while keeping God at the center. And I don't know if you're like me, but I put a lot of my own roadblocks in front of myself. Like, what if I suck? Does this even matter? Am I just wasting time? Is this for me and my personal, or am I actually doing kingdom work? And there's just so many things that we can throw in our own way that make us stumble before we reach our dreams. But if it truly is a God-given dream, the start is simple. First is saying yes to God, and the second is telling God, I'll follow. And after that, well, we unpacked that a little bit more, so let's go ahead and head on over to this conversation with Kevin. We're here with Kevin from Pentatonix. And Kevin, I was going to try and say your last name, but I knew I was going to butcher it 100%. Like, I had it going great in my mind, and I'm not even going to try it. We're not even going to screw this up 10 seconds in.
That's so funny. My name is Kevin Olushala, the last name. It's my dad's from Nigeria, so it's a Nigerian name. If you want to get even more technical, there's actually tones to it. So it's Olushala.
Yeah, I would have been done. Like, we would have, you would have been like, nope, sorry, we're out. Thanks for having me. We're done.
That's so funny.
So your father is Nigerian, and mm-hmm. you guys actually grew up in the middle of Kentucky, of all places, mm-hmm. from Nigeria to Kentucky. What's a little bit of that story?
Yeah, so my mom's from Grenada and my dad's from Nigeria, and they came to the United States separately, but they met at a school called Loma Linda University, which is a Seventh-day Adventist school for health. So my mom was doing her MPH. My dad was doing some medical board exams so that he could be able to practice residency in the United States. They met there, and then from there they went to Philadelphia. My dad finished residency, had all my siblings there, and then my dad said, I want to move to the safest place in America, because being in these big cities, he had his car broken into, just stuff that he was not accustomed to. So a job opened up in Owensboro, Kentucky, and that's where we resided. That's where I grew up. And I loved it. It's such a beautiful town. We had wonderful people growing up, you know, Southern charm, Southern manners. I feel like I learned so much growing up there, and I give it to them for just, I think, putting a lot of the character that I have in me. I just always have a soft spot for Kentucky.
And that's translated. Now you're all big time and you're big shot and all the stuff, moved to LA, living the rock star life. But
maybe, yeah.
But that's translated. I think we might get through this episode here. But that's translated a little bit to where you're at now, where you're living now, just outside of LA. As we're getting set up here, you're just telling me a little bit about getting back to that country feel and just out of the hustle and bustle of everything.
Yeah, no, my wife from New Jersey, in a place called Westfield, and it's very kind of small suburban, and it feels similar in that way to where I grew up, Owensboro, Kentucky. So when we were, you know, my wife was pregnant and we were trying to figure out where we wanted to live, and this place is called Westlake Village, it just felt like us. at some points it kind of has some of that East Coast foliage, but also feels so idyllic and beautiful. It's mountainous. It just has so much of the beauty that we wanted. And it's such a small town, about 10,000 people. So it just felt like the right place for us to raise our kids and focus on God and family and nature, just the things that really matter. Of course, you know, you go into Los Angeles, do your work there, and you appreciate LA for what it is, but it's so nice to kind of get out of the hustle and bustle and focus on the things that matter. So I love our life. I love what we do. I love where we are.
Just talking a little bit about your journey, obviously we know you from Pentatonix, a small little band, I think has had a little bit of success. Made it onto a TV show or something like that.
Do people know our band? I've never even heard of it, so I don't even know what you're talking about.
I know that there are some people who have not heard of Pentatonix yet, even the Christmas stuff. I got to say, we've been fans of Pentatonix from like the get-go. We're like OG Pentatonix crew from...
Oh, wow. That's so special. So, thank you.
Trivia time. And I know you know this answer, but we'll pause for audience participation here. What TV show did Pentatonix start off on and get famous on?
Oh, this is trivia. So in that case, I'm going to let people wait. I'm just joking.
Hey, that just saved me from having to say, hey, can you beatbox on the podcast? That just saved me right there.
Great.
I'm a dork and it was going to happen some point somewhere. That just saved me, man. I appreciate it.
Well, I'll give a little bit of the story. So basically, Pentatonix came together. Three of the members are from Arlington, Texas. And one of our bandmates, Scott, he wanted to go to University of Southern California for school. And while he was there, he found out about this whole a cappella community through the SoCal Vocals. And it was so just kind of interesting and exciting for him, especially with all the show choir background that he had. And he heard about this TV show, as you were talking about in the trivia, called The Sing Off, which was on NBC. It was a big a cappella competition on a kind of glossy TV format. And he was really interested in doing that. So he asked his two best friends from Arlington, Texas to join him. But they needed a bass and a beatboxer to round out the sound. So they asked, at the time, Avi Kaplan, who was just an amazing bass that our producer, Ben Bram, had heard of, and he brought him in to that. And for me, I had a video that was going viral at the time of me playing cello and beatboxing. So it's this thing I call cello boxing. I coined this phrase of when you play cello and beatbox simultaneously. And the video went viral at the time, and they said, that's the guy that we need. And if we had to get into this whole story, I cannot even tell you how much of a God story it was. Literally, just from me trying to get into music to this point. I will tell you the whole story if you asked, but it just, God is good, man.
Well, and I think that ties into your podcast that we're here to talk about is
yeah,
just how God moves in your dreams. So I think we do need to hear a little bit about that story, because that's just part of what we're here to talk about, in at least the way I see it.
Yeah, for sure. Well, this is the story. I came into music so unexpectedly. My whole goal was to be a doctor. My dad, you know, once again, Nigeria, my mom, Grenada. When you come to the United States as an immigrant, your hope is that your children do something like being a doctor, a lawyer, an engineer, right? The American dream, because you've worked so hard to bring a certain level of stability and comfort here and to have your children continue on that path forward, if you will, that continuous progress, if you will. So that's why I went to boarding school at Andover, right? I was so interested in education and learning. That's why I went to Yale for undergrad as an East Asian studies major. So I'm fluent in Chinese and also pre-med. Oh, yeah. Male rendered. Oh, jiga. I love Chinese. So anyway, that's a little bit for you.
We'll get Google Translate to hit that later.
Yeah, exactly. You'll figure it out. But while I was there, I could tell that God was doing some work in me, because he was showing me, I'm going to help you study some skills in academia that I know you think is for medicine, but it's actually for another path that I called for you. And so what happened was I started to understand this whole cello boxing thing, right? How do you even take cello and beatboxing at the same time, right? How do you even think about that? What happened was one of my teachers from school, when I was in China, she was the one that asked me, and I will say this in Chinese, 你有没有想过把那大提琴和表演口技融合在一起? Which means, have you ever thought about taking the cello and beatbox and putting it together? And I said, absolutely not. That sounds absolutely crazy. So many people, I think, would think, well, cello, classical music, has hundreds of years of pedagogy. Why would you think to put something like a hip-hop beat, beatboxing, on top of this? It could, quote-unquote, tarnish classical music. But one of the things that we talk about on this podcast, Imagine Faith Talk, right? If God is a creator, then we are creators as well because we are made in his image. And we have to do it within the uniqueness God has called us to. This is where God had called me to be unique. And that's when I started to pursue it. And that led to certain opportunities. My junior year, I had a competition that I entered with Yo-Yo Ma. And I got second place in this competition. And he said that my music was inventive and unexpected. And then I had another opportunity to be able to open for KRS-One, who's one of the grandfathers of hip hop. And he said, Kevin, the way you're doing this, if you continue on this path, I think you're going to change the way people perceive hip hop and classical music. And that's when I realized the stirring was going on in my heart. Clearly, God was showing me, okay, here are two people on opposite sides of the musical spectrum at the highest echelon of what they do, telling me something similar. And that's when I started to pray, truly, truly pray. And I said, okay, God, look, I don't know how to do this. I don't even know how to pursue this. Where are you taking me? And I had a mentor who was MD, PhD at Yale, a Nigerian, who understood everything that I was going through. And he said, look, music is something you're 20 years old, you have to pursue right now. If you're done with it by chance time, you've had your experiences, you can always come back to medicine, but you should pursue this right now. And so that's when I got down on my knees my junior year of college in my dorm, in my library. And I said, look, God, I think you're absolutely crazy, but I cannot deny what you are calling me to do in this moment. You do it because I don't see a path forward, but I trust you. And then a whole can of worms, I promise you, it felt like it was open and I could not go back on my words. And it led me to this path of where I am today.
That is incredible. And I love it how sometimes we as Christians, we say, oh, this is never going to happen. And God takes that as a challenge sometimes.
I don't think we realize not only what's in us, but the way God calls us, right? God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the call. Moses did not think he was supposed to be a leader of Israel. Gideon didn't think he could be the mighty warrior that God called him to be. But to God, all he cares about is that you rise up to what he said. God says, I know you think you can't do this, but that was never my word for you. That never came out of my mouth. What I said about you was something far more glorious than you see for yourself. And I want you to trust me because of what it's going to make of you. And you're going to have to trust me the whole way. And God wants people to have faith on this earth because that's what's going to ultimately bring more people into the kingdom.
And so to finish out the story, you guys went on this TV show, The Sing Off, absolutely crushed it, complete domination, like fan favorites the whole way. And here we are. Man, how long ago has that been? I probably don't even want to ask.
It's almost 11 years.
That has been a little while. I know I was afraid to ask about that.
No, that's perfectly fine. It's almost 11 years ago.
So we moved from the middle of Wyoming down to Arlington, Texas, like we said. As we're doing this, we are about 5 miles. If I remember correct, I think it was Bowie High School that Scott and them came from.
Oh, no, they went to Martin High School.
My mileage is off, but the concept is still the same. It's
sure.
Still within reasonable vicinity to where I'm recording this here.
Right.
But like the whole seasons of life thing that come through, it's like just realizing how long ago that was. I just had like a feeling old moment because we're still in Wyoming at the time, you know, as we were starting to have babies and all that. So you guys are as old as my oldest daughter. I never thought of
it. Ain't that crazy? And what you're saying is kind of amazing too, because as we've had our career, we've seen people who have actually grown up with us. And as we've grown up as well, you'll see people come through a show and they'll say, you know, they're now 16 years old, or maybe they're 25 years old. And they said, I used to listen to you in elementary school. I used to listen to you in high school. Now they're in their 30s. I'm like, it's to see these people throughout the decade and watch them grow up and often come to our shows. It's full circle. And it's really a celebration that we can be here this long.
Especially in kind of the mainstream music. I mean, it happens in Christian music as well, but sometimes the lifespan, the shelf life of a band is just either one hit wonder, or it's, you know, just you got your kind of few golden years where you're big. But I think it kind of goes back to what you're saying about being creators. One of the things that I've seen Pentatonix do over the last now 11 years is just continue to be inventive and creative, you know, tackle songs that maybe shouldn't be done a cappella by normal standards, but, you know, absolutely crush it at the same time. That mix of covers with original music, just being continually creative and inventive, from my perspective, is what's really helped keep you guys going for the long term.
Oh, thank you, man. I appreciate that. I mean, we've always wanted to continuously push the boundaries in whatever we do. And it's a good team of five people who are so different in the way we think. So that means the music will never get stale. And we don't want the music to get stale. And I think the other thing is, you know, when you think about one-hit wonders or one what have you, we don't really think about that so much, because at the end of the day, like, the way God wants to use somebody is the way God uses them. Maybe God needed them to have that one hit so that that hit really changes a generation and helps people on their path. And if that was his use for them in that season, that's his use. And that's why we don't really, I don't know, as a band, we just don't compare. There's just no way to compare apples and oranges, right? And so for us, we've always tried to take a left field approach with what we do. We don't really even care what the mainstream thinks about us. At the end of the day, we just want to reach the people with our music.
So transitioning to being a, you know, Christian in music, you know, versus being like a Christian musician or being in the CCM world, I know one of the things that we kind of see is some of the Pentatonix crowd doesn't match up. Their lifestyles don't necessarily match up to what a lot of people view as Christianity. If they are Christian, if they are professing Christians, or, you know, whatever all that looks like. I know this is part of your podcast here, talking about not losing your soul in the middle of finding fame and success and all that. Can you just describe a little bit about your journey, talk a little bit about your journey about being a Christian in music in some of these spaces where you're not surrounded by other Christians?
Sure. This is the way I'd explain it. If you look at Jesus, or even another example, Daniel. Daniel is one that God calls to Babylon, right? An area that's not necessarily Christian, if you will. But the goal is, how do you infiltrate culture in a way where you can show love to people, the love that they need? I think that's the goal always of going into any space. How do you show love? How do you show that they're accepted by God? Because a lot of people may feel other, outcast. But God never looks at them that way. God just wants to see them have his identity. And that identity is love. So I think that's the whole point of going into culture. Jesus ate with anybody that did not look or feel, or because at the end of the day, he didn't care. He just wanted them to see the beauty of his grace and his mercy. So I think that's the whole thing. You know, I don't necessarily think about, in certain ways, have I lost myself, or have I not done what God, because to me, my whole life is a representation, my hope is at least, is a representation of love. So if I am doing that well to my neighbor, if I'm doing that to my band member, and we're doing that back to each other, then the reciprocity is going to be beautiful, and it'll be one symbiotic relationship of love. So I think as long as I do that, I can be in the world, if you will, and not lose my soul, because I just want to love people well. And I know the best person that did that on earth is Jesus. So for me, following him in that way and then loving people well are synonymous.
And when you guys started back, you know, 11 years ago, social media was not what it was. think Facebook was barely kind of crawling around. Twitter was in whatever phase it was. I don't think we had Instagram quite yet. My social media history is trash. But now anything that happens, you have to have an opinion. You have to be shouting it from social media. You have to be doing whatever. You have to be very public and vocal about it. Being part of, you know, Pentatonix and a very front-facing band, how has that changed over the last 11 years? And how has that been trying to still honor God and still keep that center?
I think for us, we just continuously focus on the music. That's the most important thing. Like, one of the things we talk about in the podcast is that if you are called to something, your goal is to stay in your lane. You cannot compare apples to oranges. You can't look at what somebody's doing to your left. You cannot look at what somebody's doing to your right, right? If you look at Joshua, God says, meditate on the word of God day and night. Don't turn to your left or to your right. For then you will be prosperous. Then you will be successful. So the opinions that are going on, the shouting from the rooftop, the people wanting, it's just noise to us. We're here to make music, a beautiful sound. So we just focus on what is our core, right? That's what you can control. That's what you can do.
Your co-host for this is Donovan Donnell. Mm-hmm. Or did I pronounce that
Donovan
one?
Donovan Donnell.
I wasn't sure if he was going to be on this one or not. So I'm like, okay, what should we title this episode? You know, the good, the bad, and ugly. You know, I was going to take ugly 100%. if we had to claim one, you know, ugly's mine. But
we all have it, I promise you.
But one of the cool things that as I've seen this podcast come through and seen some of the stuff that's come out from this podcast, is just the other different viewpoint. You have yourself who has come from, you know, the pre-med, kind of doing everything right by the book kind of stuff. And then you have Donovan, who's kind of come from the other side of the tracks, if you will. I love how just those different viewpoints, you're talking about that earlier with the other guys from Pentatonix. And now we have that with this podcast as well. Just those different viewpoints attacking the same point.
That dude, I love what you're saying. This is why I love Donovan. His life experience has really prepared him for what we're doing on this podcast. He's now a life coach. He's an entrepreneur. And we we feed off each other so well because of our differences. But that's also the thread of who we are is we want to love people well. And we can reach different audiences because of who we are. Isn't that the beautiful thing about grace? That even in my craziness and the craziness that he went through, that God could still see us fit to come together and make a beautiful and joyful noise to him. And to tell people from what he's learned and what I've learned, the same point is you don't have to sell your soul to obtain your dream if it's a God dream for you. We've both learned that. He learned that in the male exotic dancer industry when God told him, I need you to quit, because I have something different prepared for you. And he said he learned, God, I don't want to get what I think you're calling me for. I want exactly what you prepared for me, because that will be better than anything that I could have imagined. That's exactly what I told God too. Practically, I said, look, I don't know how I'm going to do music. You're going to have to do it knowing that I trust you. And what he prepared for me, I could have never, ever guaranteed or imagined any of this. And I think that's why he and I try to be very humble on this path, because we know it's not even about us. For us, this is about a God story that needs to be told. And especially for those high performers, those people who are young professionals in cities, parents, the CEOs, the artists who are trying to do something on this earth, but they want to do it with the tenets of God, but they also need to optimize their performance. There's a way to do this. There is. But we have to meditate on the word of God day and night, and then raise our level of ambition on how we go about it, right? Faith without works is dead. If I could say this, faith without efficient work or optimized work is futile. So how do we make the works part of what we do? And we're not talking about salvation. We're talking about how efficient we can be in our calling. How do we optimize that in a way where people say, oh my gosh, like Daniel, an excellent spirit was found in him. How is he a leader of 120 leaders? It's because of the excellence. And that excellence points back who? to Jesus Christ. We know why we're here. That's the goal.
And I think we see this, what's the word? I had a really smart word and it just went boing.
Dude, that's me every single day. Every single day.
And so I think in churches you see these two major schools of thought, or at least when you see kind of the extremes of you either got to live in poverty and you've got to suffer for the cause of Christ, or you have this prosperity gospel where you just trust in Jesus and all the good things will happen. I just love that there's a space with you and Donovan that are coming through of like, yes, but there's still work that's involved. Because I think that's one of the things that we, I think there's pieces to both of that that work well, right? Because there is a lot of work. Jesus talks about the parable of the talents. You don't just get a free ride just because you exist. You know, he rebukes those who don't work. But at the same point, it's never been, you can never have success like the young rich ruler. It wasn't, you know, hey, you shouldn't be rich. It's what do you treasure most?
That's the key. This prosperity gospel stuff, our goal is not to make people prosperous in the sense of money and wealth and fame. That is literally, I think, the least of our thought. What we want, as we talk about, it's holistic success. How have you gained what God has called for you in the areas of life that matter to you? In your work, in your family life, in your health, in your parenting. There are so many areas that God calls about so that you have a well-rounded, beautiful life. And money cannot give that to you. I want to be very clear. Money can help, sure. But joy and peace cannot come from money. There are so many people that we see that have that. Our band has been super successful. But I was super joyous when we had no money and I was renting an apartment for $600 in LA, which is nothing in Los Angeles, as I am today with money. Why? Because the focus cannot be the money. The focus must be the fact that I get to wake up every single day, worship my creator, and do what he's called me to do and try to be my best for my creator so that people around me see the joy that I have doing what he's called me to do. And that's the major work of the podcast. You can do that not having money, and you could do that having money. It's still the same ethos.
So as we start wrapping up this podcast episode here, I've got to ask like the corny, like super podcasty question, right?
Sure. What's that?
So someone who's feeling like they don't know where they're at, what they're doing, but they have that itch that there's something more. What is your word for somebody sitting in that space?
My thing is that only God knows the next step. And even if God doesn't even feel close to you, my belief is that he's always seeking every single person to come to him. My first thing is ask God, or if it's the universe that you're believing in at that, ask. Because one of the things it says in the Bible is ask and it shall be given to you, seek and ye shall find. Just ask. God, universe, I don't know, but I'd like to know. What do you have for me? That is the first step. And you open your heart. And then the next step, I always tell people, start with John. Start with the book of John. Find the message version and just start to understand the character of God. On our podcast, we always say at the end, love transforms you. Purpose defines you and impact activates you by faith. The reason we say that is that you first have to know who God is. You have to know love, and love is God. Understand the way he thinks, feels, because from that perspective, now you can start to look into your purpose. What are the things that I'm good at? What are my natural gifts? What are my natural talents? You can understand that purpose that now will define you because you have the right perspective. And then once you understand that, you can go and impact your sphere of influence, whatever that may be. If you're a parent, it's your children. If it's your job, maybe it's your cohort of young professionals that you work with. Now your impact has some activation by faith in God. So I think you have to know the love first before you can really go out and do what you're called to do.
So glad I asked that question now.
Well, it was a long answer. You're probably like, gosh, this man talks so much. But that's why we have a podcast, because Donovan and I like to talk.
See, full circle, full circle.
Full circle. There you go.
Well, man, now that we've got you warmed up. We got you warmed up. We got the beatboxing already in the episode. I know you have studio time here in just a little bit to bring us some new music here. Now that we've got you warmed up, we've done our job here. We better let you get back to the studio.
For sure. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate this. This was super, super fun.